30 years after the AIDS crisis in the United States, it's hard to generate any urgency about a disease we've been told is survivable with the right drug management regimen. But in the Deep South, it's as though the activism and protests of the 1980s and 90s didn't happen. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says right now African Americans have the most severe burden of HIV of all racial ethnic groups in the United States. The reasons are cultural, as well as the old story of allowing the medical infrastructure in a high-risk community to wither. June Cross is a documentary television and film producer. Her film, Wilhelmina's War, tells of one grandmother's determination to fight for the preservation of her family and for the protection of the health of those around her.
I certainly thought going in that AIDS was something that was a problem in Africa that we'd handled in the United States. And then I discovered that people were dying of AIDS in South Carolina, and that's what made me go there. And I discovered that black women were contracting infections at way higher rates than white women or Latino women. And I picked up a magazine, and there was an article written by a 13-year-old girl about what it was like to have been born HIV positive and live in a town of 1,500 people, knowing nobody else who was living with HIV. And so we went down to meet them, and we met Wilhelmina and Deschelle. And, you know, once we met, Wilhelmina was just a force of nature. She was, when we met her, 62. She was absolutely shameless.
My name is Wilhelmina Dixon. First, I'd like to thank the Reverend for having us here. I don't know how to put it in all them fine words like she do, but I got God here in my heart. And I came this morning to ask you all to listen at me.
So it was that sort of level of her openness in the face of sort of the overwhelming shame and stigma that seemed to surround HIV infection in that area of South Carolina that made me go there.
One of the great things about this film is how you get to hear people in conversations almost thinking out loud as to why this is happening to them. There's a great scene in a barbershop. How did you get those scenes?
We ran into these two great activists, Vivian Clark Armstead and Tony Sells. And so they took us to that barbershop, and the men were sort of dutifully saying all the right things. You know, yes, we know we're supposed to use condoms, blah, 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 blah. I had the feeling that they weren't being real with us. And so we all left, and we left my cameraman in there. And he said, just stay in there for a couple hours and keep this conversation going and let's see what happens.
How is it just the fact that black people are the ones with it the most? I think it was man-made in the lab to control the population. You can't just say black people out here having sex more than any other race.
Okay, David, let me ask you something. When last time you used a condom?
I don't use no condom.
You also get this feeling here, and it's very powerful, that the history of African Americans does not help.
Yeah.
Here,
there's a legacy.
There's a moment, and it goes by very, very quickly. And I think it's Vivian Clark Armstead who gives a speech in a church where she says, "If you're waiting for the cavalry, they're not coming."
This state right now is investing very little in the saving the lives of African Americans impacted by HIV/AIDS. And so, if you're waiting on the cavalry to come, if you're waiting on somebody else to come and save us, if you think help's coming, just think about Katrina. They ain't coming.
I think there's an element of that that's very true. I had finished shooting, and I stumbled across a Washington Post headline from 1994. The CDC had discovered that when men presented to hospitals in South Carolina with the pneumonia that is usually the first signifier that you have the AIDS virus, white men were told that they had AIDS and given treatment. Black men were treated for the pneumonia and sent home. So this tells us that the disease was allowed to take root in African-American communities in ways that it wasn't in the white community.
Does the church help or hinder this?
There are churches that are helping, but in the rural areas, churches not willing to talk about it yet. There was a pastor that we talked to that I originally met in Charleston, who I said, would you go back with me to the – he had been in a rural church, and he moved to Charleston in part because he wanted to do more HIV outreach. And I said, will you come back to us to that church and do a sermon there? And he was like, no. People are afraid that the stigma that attaches to drug addicts and gays will come into the church if they start talking about AIDS from the pulpit.
What's Wilhelmina's experience in dealing with the church, both in its tolerance and mm-hmm. intolerance of this issue?
Wilhelmina lives down the street from a church that wouldn't let her talk about it there. Since she's made contact with some of the activists that live in Columbia, she's been able to go to other churches and has somewhat become more sort of an ambassador.
I was going here and there. They wouldn't even let me talk about it in Summer Grove Baptist Church. That was my church. So I'm just asking everybody. If we could come together, do some workshops, and I just ask y'all and I thank y'all.
It's a mixed experience. And I think the smaller the church and the more isolated, those are the areas where it's very difficult for some reason.
What's the story of Shamala?
Wilhelmina had a daughter, Toni, who died of AIDS, and we went to her daughter's funeral. And then at the funeral, we saw this young woman sitting over in a wheelchair, and I thought she had MS or something, and I walked over to say hello. And she said, no, I have it too. They call it the thing. I have that thing too. She'd been living with the virus for 15 years, and she had a very hard time. She couldn't get the doctors to work with her on getting the right cocktail. So in those days, they were still doing a variety of medications. And she was having very bad side effects. She finally decided that her quality of life was so bad that she'd prefer to just go off the medications and let the virus take its course than continue to live like that.
Is Wilhelmina's war a losing battle?
I don't believe it's hopeless. And I think the more that we can bring awareness to the rest of the country and get those who are active in the North engage more with people in the South instead of a house-divided fight, I don't think it's hopeless.
June Cross, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
June Cross is a documentary film and television producer. Her film, Wilhelmina's War, airs tonight on PBS's Independent Lens.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.